Good morning. Thank you for coming to my talk. I'm not an earthquake expert. I'm not an intermediate and depth earthquake expert. Actually, I thank Barbara for inviting me here because it kind of forced me to go into the literature a little bit. And so this is not about the mechanisms of earthquakes. It's more about slab deformation, of which, of course, earthquakes as a result of stress drop are evidence. So this is the title. It has slab dragging, subduction, evolution, and slab deformation. And I think many of you may not know what the first word means, so, and that's central to my talk. So I found in one of these review papers an interesting quote. There appears to be a tendency for ruptures, particularly those of intermediate depth earthquakes, to propagate along strike near horizontally, with a lot of references. And that kind of inspired me, because what would be the state of stress in the slab to cause that? Okay, and I will try to conceptually at least give you an idea what I think might underlie that. So first I'll start with a qualitative review briefly of what most people think about subduction, okay, and then I'll make a step to something new. Okay, that's called slab dragging, and which may bring, among other, a slab strike parallel forcing into play. So let's start with the classical view on subduction. I don't think I have to tell much about that. It shows most of the ingredients. It's after Magali Billen, a review paper. And let me try to change that, because the resolution is not good. Anyway, so I'll just proceed with that. I had it the last time too. I have to see what I can do about that. So all kinds of forcings, mental flow, the slab buoyancy, slab pull, interactions with the plates, plate motions, they can go in any direction possible. So let's then have a look at that. So what I like to do, and that's very crucial, if you look at subduction, you want to interpret what's actually going on, geodynamically speaking, you have to look at that in a mental frame of reference. For instance, a hotspot frame, which assumes that plumes are kind of anchored to the deep mantle. So this is an example of rollback. So if you start with that, then the slab is rolling back like this. You have trench retreat, you have mental resistance, you have slab-induced mantle flow. Okay, but you can also take the slab of the trench to be stationary and let the upper plate escape. Okay, so what happens here, you have a stationary trench and you have no lateral slab motion in the mantle. So the cartoon-wise, they're the same, okay? But there's a very important difference in the forcing here. Okay, the fundamental difference is the slab-mantle coupling, which is quite different here than here. Slab-mantle coupling will induce stresses in the slab, excite a certain state of stress in the slab, and also can transmit stresses to the surface, so it can also affect the overlying tectonic evolution. Let me give you an example of both of these mechanisms, both retreat and escape. So that's this one. That's for the Aegean region over here in the Mediterranean. And so the Aegean basin, that's this one over here, is actually a result, likely, of a little bit of slab rollback and upper plate retreat. And how do we know that? Well, it's because if you look upon that in an absolute plate motion frame, where Africa is moving like this and Eurasia is moving like this, then we can make a plot of the motions in this region. I'm sorry about the bad resolution. It's not on my screen like that.
Fixed in a minute.
Oh, okay. So here you see again the magenta African vectors, and you see here the in blue the GPS in the region, and Eurasian plate escape to the northeast is nicely imaged, you could say, by the GPS vectors. And here you see the strong rollback and inflowing Anatolia motion, which is also a result of slab rollback. So to have all these ingredients together requires, or to be able to interpret that, requires looking at on motions at the surface in the mantle frame. So some other examples. This is for slab roll forward, you could say, which leads to a trench advance, and of course a different mantle resistance. Or in this case, you create the Himalayas, for instance. Or you can also let the upper plate escape. This is what happened here. And the example here is, for instance, the Mariana Zubunin, or Mariana's Philippine sea plate. Okay. So I guess you all know these things, right? So let's briefly summarize then what is basically this trench perpendicular view on subduction. So you can look at more papers if you want. So the mental frame of reference, slap pull is the key driver, but absolute plate motion of both the subducting and overriding plates is also very important. In addition, of course, we have the viscous coupling with the mantle, which I kind of pointed at, and of course the effects of phase changes and viscosity transitions.
Can I interrupt you?
Sure. So, I think I was here. Well, and then one of the things that is not really understood yet is the forcing of strength and slab curvature in rollback situations. We have many curved subduction zones, of course. But what we know from modeling that at least it's consistent with the trench perpendicular nature of slab pull. Okay, so, but there's more to discover than this classical picture on subduction. And the reason why, and so anyway, okay, I'm not doing that. Am I doing that?
No.
I'm very, so this is again, so what is there to be discovered is also to bring the oblique component of plate motion into play. Now, oblique subduction is well known, yes, but it's always interpreted in a relative plate motion sense, okay? Where we look at the trans-parallel transport of four arc slivers or strain partitioning. And this has to do with the relative plate motion at the trench, not with the absolute plate motion, okay? So I'm looking at absolute plate motion. I don't care about the motion of the upper plate. I care about the motion of the subducting plate because the slab is attached to that, isn't it? So here we have, in purple, the trench oblique absolute plate motion. This is the trench perpendicular component of that, which, of course, contributes to subduction. And then we have this yellow vector is the trench parallel absolute plate motion. And that causes trench parallel slab transport. So this is called slab dragging. So I have a definition, and it's a mouthful. Okay, so that's why I have these two words, slab dragging, to denote this. It's the lateral transport of this entire slab forced by and in the direction of the absolute motion of the subducting plate. Now, this has been published now in Nature Geoscience early this year. So this is an example of oblique subduction where I keep this plate fixed, okay, for the sake of argument. And so this is what happens. This is the alongside component, and of course we also have a subducting component. So this is weird, is it? Or do we have an example? Do we have a natural example of this? Yes, there is. It's a very simple one, straightforward. It's the Indian plate versus Eurasian plate, Burma here. This is the Burma slab. And actually that was already proposed in the paper by Ledin, Taponier, and Molnar in 1984, where they tried to explain horizontal P-axis of intermediate earthquakes in this slab, okay? And they said, oh, because the Burma slab is attached to the Indian plate, it may be transported, they call it dragged, also to the north. So the mantle resistance is different now. It's alongside, parallel to the strike of the slab. And of course, there can also be a compressive component all along the edge of the slab. So this may induce a complex state of stress. So this is the situation of India plate, Eurasia, Burma is over here. So this is tomography at 150 kilometers. And so here's the slab in the tomography. It's better delineated if you go a little bit deeper. But I take this and the plate boundaries of the Morville 5-6 no net rotation model. Okay, so I like to plot then plate motions and GPS on top of that, again, in an absolute mental frame, okay? Or a mental frame, absolute plate motions. And you can see indeed that there's a very strong, these are the yellow vectors over here, a very strong trench parallel, actually the trench is over here, but a very strong trench parallel plate motion. This plate motion tends to transport the slab through the mantle, okay? And of course, there's also a trench perpendicular plate motion, which contributes to the subduction. So you can see that the GPS nicely follows this pattern. Let me give you another example. It's a work I did with Robert Hall for the Banda region. It's a more complex one, but I'll try to summarize it. It's a little bit too complex, perhaps, in its setting. So show some intermediate depth and deep earthquakes. It's a famous, so there's a lot of seismicity over here, and it is almost a 180 degrees curvature of this slab. Has been enigmatic for decades, and we proposed a solution for that. So if you look at the GPS here, at the motions, then this is the absolute Australian plate motion. This is the absolute Sunda plate, or Asia, actually, motion over here. And here's the Caroline plate. So it's actually squeezed in between these plates. Okay. So if you do put the tomography under there, you can see a nicely curved slab here. And what is important here is that the Banda slab has always been part of the Australian plate. Actually, it was an embayment in the Australian plate. While Australia moved to the north, the subduction invaded the Australian plate. Okay. So the slab is attached to the Australian plate. And actually, you can see this in the motion field, because here to the north, the direction of the motions in the GPS is similar to Australia, only it's a little bit reduced in amplitude, and there's a reason for that. Okay? So this suggests, again, that this subduction zone is being dragged north or north-northeast by the Australian plate in this very complex setting. So, I have a small, so also here you can we'll exemplify why it's so important to look upon subduction systems in the mantle frame. Because if you do this, you take Australia fixed, so we're looking to the south, and you look at this evolution of the Banda slab as we reconstructed that in our paper. It is just eastward rollback and southward rollback. Okay, here's the Java trench rolling to the south and to the east. So what's complex about that? Well, it's not the way the Earth works, because Australia, we know, with respect to the mantle, moves at 7 to 8 centimeters to the north. So actually, this should be the cartoon, which is much more complex to look at, of course. Australia is moving towards us, and the Java Trench is stationary, and the rollback essentially is to the east. Okay? Complex, I know. So, but you can see here that there's a tendency that this entire system is being dragged to the north. Now, the Timor slab has been relatively stationary for a long time, and but in the last 4 million years, so don't look at that anymore. Be smart. Use a mantle frame. And which is also very important for explaining the mechanisms of slab events. So in the last 4 million years, you see here time, there was a north south compression in the entire Banda system. And we explained that by the fact that now the entire system is dragged through the mantle, and because the slab has become deeper and deeper, the mantle resistance to this northward transport has increased and is now folding the slab. Okay? It's the largest geological fold on Earth, you can say. So this is a complex example of slab dragging. Now this is the paper we published this year. Here there's this is Iberia, this is North Africa, okay? This is a reconstruction we made a few years ago of subduction that starts here 35 million years and rolls to the south and rolls back to the west and then to the northwest. So this is the red line here of the trench. So from various tomography models, we have a good fix on the mantle structure. It's an east dipping slab. It's all located now over here, east dipping, curving on the south in Iberia, okay? And we did extensive modeling of this slab system. Okay, that's published in 2014 by my PhD student at that time, Maria Chertova. And this is a slab model, and you see absolute plate motions of Iberia to the north, Africa, of a slab model, which kind of fits with the tomography. Okay, so this is the view to the southwest, and this is a view from the top, where we look from 200 kilometers downward. Okay, so this was cute. It was done to explain different things, but we kind of elaborated on that, and then we have to conclude that if you look at all the evidence we have from seismology and from the modeling, which suggests, which is a guide for us to understand things, is actually that the slab edge here is under North Africa, that the African Iberia lithospheres are still largely continuous, explains, for people that know that, the hugely diffuse seismicity in the region. And there's no lithosphere here because of slab tearing. Actually, this plate boundary is not broken at all, entirely. It's a plate boundary which is in the making, okay? Which might also explain this huge Lisbon 1755 event, which was 8.5, people say. It's a long time ago, of course, which is the only megathrust event which we know did not occur on the subduction fault, because the subduction fault is over here. Okay, so the slab is connected to both plates and may be dragged through the mantle by their absolute plate motion, question mark. So Africa to the north, this one, Iberia to the northeast. So let's look at that in more detail. So the colors here are just the speed of the slab. And this is Africa again, Iberia over here, Sardinia, Corsica rotating. And so we have lithosphere tearing along the African margin, but if you look closely, you can just see that in this numerical model, the slab is indeed being moved to the north, okay? So that's really a guide for us to, let's say, that really focused our attention to that. Okay, so let's have a closer look then for the last 8 million years. Africa here, Iberia there. This is, every contour here is 2 million years. And what you see effectively is that there's no rail back to the west anymore. This slab is being transported to the north. Okay. So if you start measuring in the model, then Iberia was about 50 kilometers in 8 million years. Africa did about 65. And if you look at the slab was only doing 50 to 55 kilometers. So why is there a difference here? Well, the difference is just, well, there's tearing here, which kind of decouples the slab motion from the northeast Iberia motion. The difference is that we have, that slab dragging is actually resisted by the mantle, okay? Just frictional coupling. So the slab doesn't want to, the mantle doesn't allow the slab to move as fast to the north as Africa. So this gives rise to an indentation of the slab of the Moroccan Rift over here, and actually we can explain all first-order tectonic events in this region or that characterize the region since 8 million years. Okay. So why was this not discovered before? Well, there's actually a very simple reason here. Many people, still now, study subduction systems in a relative plate motion sense. They take Australia fixed and they look how the Pacific is subducting on the Tonga-Kermadec. Okay? So the same was happening here. So the relative plate motion is northwest-southeast. So here you see the two absolute plate motion vectors. This is the relative motion. Okay, so this is what people, we fixed on Africa. This is the motion of Iberia toward us. So all the slab dragging is just cancelled in this difference. So this is why it was not observed before. So you can ask, is dragging of the Burma, Banda and Gibraltar slab exceptional because of the peculiar complex geodynamic settings? Or does slab dragging occur more generally? Well, this is the last part of my talk. So this is a little bit of a complex plot, but I'll carry you through that. So here's the Pacific plate with all the subduction zones. This is plate motion in an absolute plate motion frame. And along the trenches, the yellow vectors indicate the trench parallel motion of the plate. So it's what I call the trench parallel dragging motion. So this is the direction in which the slabs are being transported. Okay, so oblique subduction, you can see this here, is just the rule rather than the exception. So it happens everywhere. And you can ask yourself, what happens to the slabs if the Pacific plate changes its course? It's doing that continuously. Are all those slabs sheared off, or are those slabs participating in the slow change of the Pacific plate motion? Okay, and if so, they are, of course, experiencing viscous coupling to the mantle. So what does this do to the slab? I don't know. So I have a proposal out there to investigate this all. So you can see this for the Tonga-Kermadec situation. I will go into that in more detail there. Isobonin, let me blow that up for you. This is tomography. Here's the Mariana slab, Philippine Sea plate. And this is the Pacific plate, Isobonin here. Some potential slab tears. And you see very nicely that absolute plate motion is trench perpendicular in the Marianas. And then if you go along the Isobonin, the trench parallel component increases and increases, okay? So it's even bigger than the subduction component of the Isobonin. So something's happening there. So we have the Kurils, I'll show something about that. Alaska is also very interesting, like the Kurils. So here in Alaska, it's the Pacific plate is subducting trench perpendicular, and if you go along the Aleutians, you see that in the end it's completely trench parallel. Okay, there is a slab here of 200 to 250 kilometers. It cannot have subducted there. It must have been transported there from the east. Okay? So, let's go to Tonga. We had a paper this year. And so here's the Tonga Kermadec thing. So this is the paper by Susanne van der Lagemaat and from my group. And so we tied the tectonic reconstruction of the Tonga Kermadec subduction. We tied this to the mantle. Okay, and we used for that the positions of detached slab remnants, which we identified in previous papers. And so we could actually link the motion of the slabs with respect to the mantle. Okay, so you can look at this Van der Meer et al. Paper. It's called Atlas of the Underworld. There's also a website associated with that where you can download tomography pictures and models. Okay, and the paper associated with that explains this methodology. So, if we would be standing on Australia fixed, this is what the Pacific would do, nicely subducting to the west in the last 30 million years. However, if we would look at the Pacific motion relative to the mantle, to the deep mantle, then this is what's happening. Okay, there's a strong northward component in there. Okay, and this is what the trench would do in 3 points. So let me just show the trench at 30 million years and the trench at 0 million years. Okay, so this trench has been transported north, largely trench parallel, so slab pool cannot do that. Okay, over a distance of about 1,000 kilometers here, and it's about 1,200 kilometers over here. So in the Gibraltar, it was only 55 kilometers, but here it's huge. Okay, and imagine that in 30 million years, this huge Tonga Kermadec slab is being subducting westward, but at the same time being transported to the north. What would the effect be on the slab morphology as a result of that, as a result of the viscous coupling? Okay, also as in the Gibraltar region, this was not discovered actually, except by Giardini and Woodhouse, because everybody looks at Australia fixed and then subducts the Pacific. So this is the work by Giardini and Woodhouse. I came across that paper, 1986, Nature, where they this Tonga Kermadec, a long strike here, all the seismicity as we see it today. And what they did in this paper is an exercise where they made a tectonic reconstruction where the slab would be expected if it was not being deformed. Okay? So this is the dashed line over here. But then, if you look at the outline of the seismicity, is actually where the slab is today. And this is confirmed later on by tomography. So apparently, there's a huge slab deformation occurring here. Okay? And I show this as a general shear, but of course, there's a lot of... this is the slab edge, so there's a lot of compressive indentation of the mantle. Also, the slab indents the mantle here, so that gives an overall compressive state of stress on the edge. So, independent of this, of that work and of the Van der Lagemaat paper, I was interested with my student, by then a postdoc, Maria Tjertova, to do something different what other people do. Other people always look at slab-induced flow, like toroidal flow around the slab edges, right? I thought, well, it's also interesting to look at what remotely excited mantle flow is doing to a slab, okay? So, in this case, let me explain a little bit what we did. So we did 3D slab deformation modeling, tracking slab morphology changes resulting from an imposed uniform trench parallel mantle flow. And also other directions, but this is one is pertinent here. So in blue, you see here, this is after 5 million years of modeling. In blue, you see a little bit, this is the model in which we don't have this mantle flow imposed. And the mantle flow would be imposed from the left side of the box, uniformly. And in yellow, you see the slab morphology, if there is this 3 centimeter per year uniform mantle flow from the side. Okay, so this is, and this is what happens after 15 million years. Okay, so the blue is the undisturbed slab, it's nicely rolling back, okay, like Tonga, and the yellow one is experiencing this 3 centimeter per year in this direction, trench parallel flow. Well, and then after 25 million years, you see this. Okay, so the blue one again, that's the reference model. There's no mental flow there. It's nicely rolling back. It's now experiencing some resistance of the 660. It's trying to drape down on the 660. But the yellow one is largely deformed. Actually, this yellow one resembles more or less the Tonga morphology. Okay. So this mimics the situation where the slab would be dragged to the left in a mantle that doesn't move. Okay? So that's a matter of reference models. So this viscous slab mantle coupling causes strong trench parallel deformation. You can see this here, this is a general shear. And of course there's this deformation of the slab edge. Actually, this slab edge is kind of tilted, so it's a very, it's actually, makes me think of the Tonga slab. It's not the same, of course, right? But you see the parallels of that. So actually, slab dragging in the mantle, even if the flow is trench parallel, you know, can cause strong three-dimensional deformation of the slab. And of course, this is associated with a three-dimensional state of stress. Okay? And in this case, these directions of the stress tensor field, you know, may excite slab strike parallel deformation. And I'm on time. So this is another work from Northart et al. With they studied this segment of the Tonga Kermadec trench. And what they did, they used the method of Haynes and Hall to kind of reconstruct the motion field in the slab from the focal mechanisms, okay, which they, the Kostroff method, convert into strain rate, average strain rate, and then they integrate the strain rate field. And if you integrate it relative to this point, then this is the motion field in the slab. So you see nicely, so this is a long strike, you see nicely that the down dip velocity is high, but there's also a very strong component of trench parallel motion in the slab, okay? So it is almost an observation. So, so I can explain this also with, conceptually at least, with the mantle resistant northward slab dragging, okay? Tonga slab is moved to the north. The top part is really the slave of Pacific motion. The deeper you come into the mantle, the slab becomes more a slave of the viscous coupling with the mantle. So you would have, it's not a tilt, it's a shear, okay? And then, of course, at the slab edge, there's a lot of normal stress. Now, interestingly, we are not the first to discover that. So this is a paper by Strolias and Müller. She's called Seton now. And they had a very interesting paper about trench evolution in the Pacific, published in 2006. And so this is also the Tonga region. So this is the Tonga slab at 30 or so, and this is it today, very much resembling our result. But this was just taking relative reconstructions and putting them in a mental frame of that time, okay? And we did it a little bit more fancy. But the result is basically the same. And interestingly, in the same paper, you also see what happened to the Mariana-Isubanin system, which was also transported by 1,000 kilometers or so to the north. This was left uninterpreted in these papers. And I can imagine that because it's weird, okay? But then I propose a solution to that. So finally then, this is a long strike section through the Kuril Isles. So this is the northeast, Kamchatka, southwest near Japan. And this is a paper by Chenka Christova, 2015, where she kind of compartmentalizes the slab here in all kinds of segments, which have similar focal mechanisms, okay? So this is the intermediate depth focal mechanism range, and she finds that these are the, so this is the slab in this lower hemisphere projection, this is the slab surface, this is the normal to the slab, and this is the P axis on average, and this is the T. So it's not down dip, what's happening here. Actually, also here, it suggests left lateral sense of shear, okay. So finally, then, conclusions. Slab dragging occurs globally. I hope you can follow me in my reasoning. And it has actually largely been overlooked since the discovery of plate tectonics. Slab dragging occurs in the direction of absolute plate motion of the subducting plate. It's very essential. So if you look at Isubunin, It's not only the transparallel one, it's also the transnormal one. They combine in one direction, and if you look at focal mechanisms in papers by Myhill, for instance, okay, you see that focal mechanisms align with this direction. It contributes to the transnormal component of subduction and causes the transparallel component of slab motion. And conceptually, the mental resistance against slab dragging, transparallel slab dragging, may induce a slab strike parallel shear stress field in the slab and compressive stress along tire slab edge. This may trigger slab strike parallel components of rupture displacement, as well as horizontal strike parallel P-axis. So the last thing is, this was only the component of slab dragging which is relevant for this meeting. But actually, it also, if you think carefully about it, it also, in concert with slab pull, has a strong arc-generating potential. And it has a potential to vertically segment slabs entirely. And then, in this paper we published early this year, we also can make a link with the tectonic evolution overhead. Thank you.
Thank you.